warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. This is a message to the world that at the start of the fifth year of the war, Yemenis will be stronger and resistance will be even greater. That's direct quotation, a message of a protester taking part in huge rallies across Yemen today, marking 4 years of the Saudi-led war on the poor country. Now, the war has brought total destruction to the poorest Arab country and has fueled growing anger and enmity toward Saudi Arabia and its allies in that war. The UN saying that the war has caused the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Now, what's key to the Yemenis' stiff resistance against warmongers? What direction will the state of the affairs take in future? Let's begin tonight's debate with a background report.
The aftermath of the first Saudi airstrike on Yemen.
At about 1 a.m, we heard the sound of planes bombing Sana'a Airport and its vicinity, which led to a large number of buildings being destroyed. There are also a lot of martyrs and injuries.
25 people, including civilians, confirmed dead. More deaths and destruction as Saudi Arabia intensifies attacks to achieve its stated goal.
The objective is to defend the legitimate government of President Hadi from the takeover attempts by the Houthi militias in Yemen.
Abdrabu Mansour Hadi had resigned as president and fled to Riyadh when Saudi Arabia invaded Yemen. He had stepped down over political differences with the Houthis, who were against foreign meddling in Yemen's politics. The Houthis and their allies formed a movement called Ansarullah, which has been fighting the Saudi aggression. 4 years on, they remain in control of the capital Sana'a and several other major cities, including the key port city of Hodeidah. On a political front, Ansarullah has formed a supreme council comprising of different factions to lead Yemen. The movement has been engaged in UN-brokered talks with the loyalists of Hadi, who remains in exile.
We came here to assure the world and the whole nation that you are steadfast and strong.
This was one of the numerous protests held by the Yemenis to call for an end to the devastating Saudi war. Similar calls, either by people or politicians, have grown in other countries, including in the U.S. and the U.K., which have given a hand to the Saudis. But all have fallen on deaf ears, with Yemeni civilians paying the price. Rights organizations and monitoring groups say some 18,000 airstrikes have hit Yemen, one-third of them targeting civilian locations such as hospitals, factories, farms, markets, and food warehouses. That has shattered pivotal sectors like health and agriculture at a time when aid imports are restricted because of a tight Saudi sea and air blockade. Rights groups say hunger and preventable diseases now threaten the Yemenis more than airstrikes that have already killed over 15,000 people, although the toll could be 5 times higher, the United Nations says it briefly. Yemen is the worst man-made humanitarian disaster in the world.
Well, with that report, let's begin the debate. Joining me will be activist and political commentator Hussein Al-Bukhaiti from the Yemeni's capital Sana'a, and journalist with Yemen Resistance Watch, Brash Junkers, who is joining us from Belgium. Good to see you both. Let's begin with Mr. Hussein Al-Bukhaiti. 4 years pass since this outlet devastating war in Yemen, which is backed by a number of world powers, as you know, and the Saudis have not won the war. Resistance has become even stronger. Why?
Because the Saudi-led coalition war on Yemen actually has unite Yemenis. I mean, for the first time that we are in fight directly with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has been playing with Yemeni politics for the last 40 years. And today, gathering actually shows that Yemenis still united against this war, and because there is a huge hatred against Saudi Arabia and what it has been doing into Yemen. That's why many people see that attacks now on the border and launching missiles against Saudi Arabia is a huge step, which actually is the Yemenis who are behind this. The Yemenis who are fighting the Saudi. The Saudi has successfully destroyed the country, but they have not destroyed the Yemeni will. And Yemenis all agree that Saudi Arabia is a tool of the United States, the Zionist state of Israel, and as well of the United Kingdom. And they know if they don't defend their country, then everything they will lose everything. So this war, hopefully, if we're gonna win finally in this war, I believe that Yemeni can be rebuilt. Yemeni can be become much stronger than it used to be.
Now turning to Belgium. Brecht, the Yemeni people show to the world today that hunger, scarcity of water, diseases, and battered infrastructure caused by the Saudi war have not brought them to their knees. They were out on the streets advocating resistance. What's their message to world powers?
Well, their message, I believe, is quite clear. The message is we will not stand down. We will not surrender. We will not be overcome. Basically, in the words of Mohammed al-Houthi, who spoke there, it shows that the Yemenis will not be defeated, and that, like many people say, that the Yemen is invincible, is how they say it now. I think this is a very clear message that despite all odds, the resistance of the Yemeni people, led by the Supreme Political Council, led mostly, of course, by Ansar Allah, they show that this will, this determination and this tenacity can overcome the military might of Saudi Arabia and the UAE and their supporters in the Zionist entity and in the United States and in Europe. It is basically like a few years ago already I started comparing when talking to people who had no idea about the Yemeni conflict. I started comparing this to the Vietnam War, because of course in the West people know the concept of the Vietnam more or less. It's where a nation that is technologically not as advanced when it comes to technology, to military technology, I mean, that this nation did, of course, has to make massive sacrifices, but when they stand united and when they are really determined to defend their country, defend their homeland from imperialism, they can win in the end. And I think when you look at 4 years ago, in 2015, the Saudis believed that they could defeat Yemen within weeks. None of them could have ever, in their worst nightmares, of course, the Saudis could have never dreamt that the big part of the south of Saudi Arabia, which is, of course, de facto occupied greater Yemen in Jizan and Najran and other areas like that, they would have never thought that now that would be full with Yemeni militias and Yemeni resistance fighters that are now spilling even across the border to attack the Saudi army even before they enter Yemen. So this shows that despite the calculus of war as it existed in the war rooms of the United States, of Israel, and of Saudi Arabia, in which they had the upper hand, that in an actual conflict against a nation that is united behind their faith and their belief system, that these people, these Yemeni people, will overcome all odds and achieve victory in the end anyway.
Right. Now let's go to Sana. Hossein Al-Bukhati, Ansar the leader says that the fifth year will be different from previous years when it comes to resistance. Houthi fighters will continue to retaliate attacks inside Saudi soil using new rockets. Now, this means a great accomplishment by a small resistance group against Western-backed Saudi aggression who are launching that war against the Yemenis, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. And actually, in this war, it has showed the Yemenis that we can defend ourselves, we can produce our own weapons. For example, the drones, just imagine that now we have drones, civilians, drones that can go anywhere into Saudi Arabia. We have attack drones. We didn't have this before. I mean, all the weapons that we used to have comes from Russia and sometimes comes from the United States. And we know United States doesn't want any country to depend on itself. Until now, I think when Zayed Abdul Malik have said that or Mohammed Ali Houthi, that the fifth year will be different. I believe and I'm sure that Yemenis still have many targets and goals in Saudi Arabia. From the beginning of this war, Saudi Arabia has used all the weapons they have. They have used all the power. They have got all the support from United Kingdom and United States. But still, they were defeated. But Yemeni, they still have. They can target the backbone of the Saudi economy, which is the oil field. Yemeni TV has released a video about 2 weeks ago of some footage showing Saudi water distillation company in Jazan. So Yemen is like saying, look, our target till now is all military, but if you continue, we can hit this. And you know, Saudi Arabia, they depend on this water company. So we can do the same thing that the Saudi did to Yemeni by targeting their mainly economic infrastructure. And just I want to mention one thing. We remember that this war, when it started, Saudi Arabia is because the threat that Houthis like to cause to Saudi border. There was no any threat at all, but now there is a real threat, and I think the Saudi cannot stop this threat only if they stop the war in Yemen or if they withdraw from Yemen.
Mm-hmm. Now, Breshta, what do you recommend? What is best for the United States and the UK to do as regards the Yemen war? Should they keep selling arms to the Saudis, or should they try to come up with an exit strategy to get out of this Yemen quagmire?
Well, there is only one moral solution, and that is a complete and total end to any and all weapons sales to Saudi Arabia, as well as to the United Arab Emirates and all countries that are involved in this conflict. We've already seen some nations that were part of the original Saudi-led coalition withdraw their support, of course, nations such as Qatar, but also Kuwait, Morocco. And we have seen several Western nations withdraw their weapons sales, or at least drastically reduce their weapons sales to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. Of course, this all came way too late, but better late than never. Of course, the only moral decision that can be made by especially the United States and the United Kingdom, who are some of the major suppliers of Saudi Arabia and the UAE, is to not only stop the weapon sales temporarily, but basically there should be, in my opinion, a total weapons embargo against these nations as long as they keep up their extremely aggressive mentality and their aggressive war of genocide, basically against the people of Yemen. I find it very encouraging that there is a bipartisan, both Democrat and Republican, growing consensus now in the United States, finally, that something should be done against the weapon sales to Saudi Arabia. Unfortunately, of course, Donald Trump has already threatened to veto that if the House of Representatives will try to push it through. We'll see how that will work out in the future. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting to see that this even within the main imperialist nation, which is the United States, there is a clear knowledge starting to come slowly that one of their major allies, Saudi Arabia, cannot reasonably win this war and is basically engaging in a complete massacre, and that the United States should basically pull their hands off of it. And as anyone, of course, who analyzes the Middle East knows, Saudi Arabia can't do anything without the support and the say-so of the White House and of the Zionist entity of Israel. So when already the American support base falls away, Saudi Arabia will be severely weakened even more than it already is. So I believe this is for the Western nations and for all other nations in the world that are not immediately involved in this war, the only thing they can do if they want to take a moral high ground, let's say, is to stop supporting the nations that are engaged in this war.
Now turning to Sana, Hossein, several rounds of talks have been held under the auspices of the United Nations, as you know. An agreement has also been reached on cessation of hostilities in the port city of Hodeidah in order to get humanitarian aid to millions of Yemenis in need of it. Yet the people are still suffering from what the UN itself has called the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. So what was the purpose of those peace talks?
To be honest with you, we haven't seen anything comes from these peace talks, especially the Stockholm Agreement. The only thing that the result from the Stockholm Agreement that it has actually shifted the blame from Saudi Arabia into Ansarullah the Houthi, and this was the main, I believe, the main goal of this agreement, because the agreement it was all about how to get humanitarian aid into Yemen. And we know that Hudaydah receives, is the only port in the hand of Ansarullah the Houthi, and receives 70% of aid to all Yemen, even though Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates control the rest of airport and port. But why is only through Hudaydah? This means that in the last 4 years, when this humanitarian aid coming through that port, means that Ansarullah the Houthi did not obstruct any of this shipment, but the main reason of the devastation in Yemen, of the starvation, of the spread of cholera, is because the intervention of Saudi Arabia, and it's because of the blockade. And I believe, I mean, as in America, they said, if you want peace, you must carry your weapons. I believe that we will not reach peace if Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates will not be suffer as we do. If Yemeni army and Ansarullah the Houthi decided to take some of their strong step against Saudi Arabia, like targeting their oil field and invading cities in south of Saudi, like Najran and Jizan, I think this war will continue, because we know the royal family, the Saudi royal family, doesn't care about how many Yemeni civilians are killed in Yemen. They even supporting Al-Qaeda in Yemen, sending American weapons directly from United Arab Emirates to Al-Qaeda. This show you how biased the policies of the United States when it comes to country like Yemen, who is against the occupation of Palestine.
Now over to Belgium, Brecht. Will the Saudis stop the war, or will they go on with it?
It's very hard, of course, to predict what the Saudis are going to do, but I'm afraid that when we see the increased power of Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, this is, of course, the man who has shown to be an extremely erratic and irresponsible figure, who is not afraid to even basically ruffle the feathers of the United States at times. So when you see that this person, his power is growing, especially with the recent reports that his father, King Salman, is all but brain dead and is likely to pass away soon. When you see that this man is most likely going to take an ever stronger grip over the Saudi kingdom, there is very little hope for a rational negotiated solution. In such a case, I think it is very important, while of course the Ansarullah and the National Salvation Government of Yemen in general have shown to be very responsible partners in negotiation for the Stockholm Agreement and the peace agreement, the ceasefire agreement around the city of Hudaydah, it is very important for Yemenis to keep on the resistance, and I think they're doing this marvelously. We have indeed the drone footage coming in from one of the most important water purification plants in Saudi Arabia. We see more and more missile strikes targeting all over Saudi Arabia, and even all the way up into the United Arab Emirates. So these, and we see the increased strikes that they are carrying out in Najran and Jizan, in which the Saudis are really starting to run scared. So unless they really put the fear into the military and political leadership of the Saudi kingdom, I don't think that Saudi Arabia will accept an honorable peace, let's say. I don't think that they have shown that they are not rational partners. They are the frontline combatants of global imperialism and global Zionism, so they have to be defeated in the field and forced into submission, forced to negotiate, because they will not do it out of the kindness of their hearts.
Right. Now, Hussein, Yemen's infrastructure is in ruins. People have problems, you know, accessing clean water and food. Children are dying of hunger and preventable diseases. Who's responsible for the miserable plight of the Yemeni people? Who's supposed to fit the bill, you know, foot the bill and pay for all this damage done to the already poor country?
I believe when this war against Saudi Arabia, then Saudi Arabia will be forced to pay for all the destruction it has caused to Yemen. But what's silly, as an example from the United Nations and other countries, they still call it a civil war, because they don't want to accept that the Saudi is one of the main part of this war. As you mentioned, like Yemenis are starving to death, more than 17 million. Yemeni need humanitarian aid. The Saudi has destroyed all Yemen infrastructure, all bridges across the country, targeting water supplies, trying to drive Yemeni civilians from the coast by targeting all the mean of their living in that area. And this actually, the total destruction on the country, it has gathered Yemenis. It has made Yemeni more resistant to this war. And I believe that it will only stop if Saudi Arabia is targeted more stronger. And as President, former President Al-Sammad said, that last year it was the year of the ballistic missile. I believe that this year, as Mohammed Ali Houthi have mentioned, it will be totally different. And if they don't take any step, the Saudi will continue and the United States will keep selling weapons to Saudi Arabia because it makes them a huge profit.
Right. And one last question for both of you, and you have 30 seconds, please answer me briefly. What's the future holding for the people of Yemen, Bresht?
The future of the future of Yemen, I believe, I hope that will be a united republic and united peaceful nation in which the Supreme Political Council, as it exists now, and the National Salvation Government will finally be able to organize democratic elections across the entire country, which I have been planning to do ever since the September 21 revolution of 2014, but have been unable to do because of the constant war and aggression. I believe that this of supreme importance that this the will of the people that was expressed in the revolution in 2014 will come to fruition, and that the democratic republic will finally be achieved for the first time in decades.
Right. Hossein Al-Bukhairi, 20 seconds, please.
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
What's future holding for Yemen? You have only 20 seconds.
I believe we're going to win this war, and Yemen will become much, much stronger, will depend on itself. And now they have learned many lessons on how what's the best way to fight, how what should we do in the future. And as an example, very quick, we've seen that the Islamic revolution in Iran, it has changed the country because Iran has stand against Iraq and other countries who supported the war. And it's exactly happening the same thing in Yemen. So when we're going to win it, this will make us much, much stronger. And we will depend on ourselves, not only on any other country.
Okay, that's the end of this debate. Let me thank our guests. We had activist and political commentator Hossein Al-Bukhairi from Sana'a, and journalist with the Yemen Resistance Watch, Bresht Jongers, who joined us from Belgium. Thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.